Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today is another episode of The People at Lime. Today's guest is a single unit owner in Charleston, South Carolina. He is the owner of Lime Painting of Charleston, Corey Griggs. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
It's a pleasure. I couldn't ask for a better guest to help the audience level up and get a glimpse into the people at Lime. So let's dive in. Corey, how did you come about this opportunity at Lime Painting?
It's a great question, and I'm glad that you asked it. And again, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today and part of the Level Up at Lime Painting. I had a corporate job and outside sales, did a lot of traveling, a lot of time away from home, and I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and didn't have an opportunity in front of me at the time. So I started looking at franchising models. I had a franchise coach that I hired and looked at multiple different franchise opportunities. And after looking at about 10, I realized that Lime Painting was the franchise for me. It gave me the opportunities and the flexibility that I needed in my lifestyle.
So you said that you were working with somebody. Sounds like you were working with a coach, consultant. What was that process like? You're looking for your next opportunity and you stumble into this world of franchising. I mean, my goodness, not everybody just wakes up and says, hey, I'm going to join the franchise world. And frankly, a lot of folks don't even know what franchising is. And if you do, you probably think, oh, it's quick service restaurants like McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell. But the reality is, if it's ethical, makes money, and is profitable, it can be franchised. And that's pretty much anything, such as a painting company, a plumbing company, whatever it might be. And so it sounds like you worked with a consultant that helped you navigate this world. There's about, 4,000 different brands, different opportunities in the franchise world. What was that process like?
I actually went through 3 different coaches. First two did not accommodate my needs and what I was looking for. Although great guys and they had great questions, the brands and opportunities they presented to me did not align with what I was looking for. I was very specific. So when they were presented to me, I realized this is not good use of my time. I'm not interested in any of these opportunities. One of the things that I valued the most in looking for a franchise was territory. For me, I looked at a few probably more recognized brands or more Lime being a younger franchise. Obviously, there was more territories available. And some of the ones that I looked at probably had been around longer, but they were trying to sell me territories that I didn't live in. And I wanted to be involved in my community that I lived in. And that was very important to me. And that was one of the most important factors, because I knew if I was going to be advertising and marketing my brand, I didn't want to have a territory that was an hour, 2-3 hour drive away, where I'd be commuting to a territory and taking that time away from my family. That kind of defeated the purpose. So the first two coaches, that's kind of what they presented to me. Those things didn't align, or other things didn't align. Like you had mentioned, the questions that they had were very helpful, and they took time to look at what I was looking for and understand. But some of these things still didn't align. Like, I didn't want a restaurant model. Nights and weekends for me were off limits because family comes first in my life. Brick and mortar, I did not want a storefront. I felt like I didn't need one. That's just a huge added expense. That was something that I didn't value and didn't want. I wanted a turnkey model, one where I didn't have to be also on call. And a couple other good opportunities I looked at were water mitigation. Great models, great business models, but on call 24/7. Somebody's pipes burst in the middle of the night, you have to be there. And I thought maybe that was a breaking point. Maybe it wasn't. One of those brands also was a foreign territory, not right where I lived. Finally, I came across Ron Sacco, and Ron showed me three opportunities. He interviewed me well. And one of those three was line painting. And he asked me to value and not just pick one, but reach out to all three, he said, and I want you to connect with all three of these brands. That way you at least get to hear from their side. Don't just pick one. And after hearing everything that line painting had to offer, I felt confident in the business that you had built, that this was the one for me. I had a background in residential construction as a kid. My father owned a residential construction company. As a kid, I watched houses being built and being torn down. I grew up painting, you know, a decent amount about painting. I didn't know a lot, but I felt like I knew more about business and management and communication, and that I could learn the painting piece. So, and I felt that painting is a business model, never going to go anywhere. And what I liked about Lime was the values of Lime in terms of offering a high quality service at a fair price and making sure that we're customer satisfaction and everything that we do. And I mean that when I say it, just like you and the values that you put into your business.
Have you noticed that being a competitive advantage, doing business the right way in the marketplace?
Absolutely. And when people ask what Lime stands for, and you tell them, they're like, oh, they love that Lime stands for love, integrity, mission, and excellence. And we live by it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that a space like contracting and specifically painting, you can differentiate yourself just by showing up, doing a good job, doing right by others. And that really differentiates and starts to create some gaps between you and the competitors. Personally, I never thought I would own a paint company. And a big reason why I decided to spend my career launching and building a paint company was the competition. And my goodness, customers really struggle to find a reliable and consistent resource in painting that takes a quality approach. There's really two accesses when you're positioning yourself in the market. One is price, one is quality, right? If you're low price, low quality, you could think of like McDonald's, it's convenient, it's fast. Great, that's positioned in the market and that serves its purpose. And my goodness, it brings a lot of value. If that's your lane, that's where you stay. And for us being high price, high quality, that doesn't mean that we're over, right? But we're bringing a lot more value. And as a result, yes, a higher price, but a heck of a lot more quality. And that's our position. That's where we're at in the market. And I never thought I would own a paint company or be in the space. And really coming to the industry and bringing an experience beyond just expertise, it really starts to create something special. And to your point, the values. And when I had built the values into Lime, it was a customer that said, hey, Nick, I know that you do business this way, but I wouldn't know it just from seeing your brand. And he said, hey, I built this $40 million moving business and we put our values on our t-shirts so that the movers and clients knew what we stood for. There was no question. And so I took that to heart, and that's where love, integrity, mission, excellence came from. And I never thought that by doing that, it would become so infectious. And so hearing you say that, hey, up front, that was something that I really resonated with. It really has become this magnet for attracting like-minded folks and doing the opposite for people that don't resonate. I'm sure there's many conversations that we don't have with people that just because they don't align with the values. And that's pretty powerful when you're building a brand, culture and people are number one. So that's most certainly one of our superpowers at Lime. But Corey, you went through this process of doing due diligence, investigating your next opportunity, working with some coaches, and ultimately finding Lime. How long have you been at Lime, and how long has it been, or excuse me, and how has it been as an owner on the getting on the other side?
Yeah, another great question. I bought in June of 2022, so just over a year ago, and I had quit my corporate job and went all in. So I hit the ground running and was able to ramp up from the time I bought in June to start production in late August of last year. So I'm just about to lap a full year in production. And from the time production hit, I was able to hit the ground running, connect with multiple different people. I've always valued networking and understood and talking to people and communication. And I've had consistent production. I mean, there's been a few weeks that I haven't been in production, but it's been pretty minimal. At the peak times, I've had three or four jobs going a week, which that's a lot on my own plate, which I've been able to balance out managing. I have three crews that I subcontract right now, and they all kind of bring different value, and they're all good painters and good people. They show up on time. They do the work. They want to work late hours. They want to work Saturdays. One of the most important things that Lime had said was find good painters. And it's also something that I shared last night with the other potential owners. Like, how do you find good painters? There's resources within the company, and there's resources at our partnerships that we have with both Sherman Williams and Benjamin Moore. And if you utilize those resources, you will be able to connect and put in the right position to succeed.
Yeah, I can see how upfront you're doing your due diligence, kind of going back to your point of looking into different options. In that phase, it's a very reasonable concern and question of due diligence. Hey, what is the process for building out subcontractors? And does it work? And it seems so foreign, right? But how has that experience been? Have you had a lot of turnover? Have you had folks stick around? Have they been able to fulfill the quality standards? What has it been like working with subcontractors?
It's been great. They're good at communication. They're responsive and they show up on time. I have a couple main crews that I work with really closely now, and they're looking for work. And that's the value that we bring them, is that they don't have enough work themselves. And by having Lime manage the project, paying for the supplies and materials, they can just show up and paint, and we can kind of guide them and tell them what they need to do. I've let one crew go, but I think that's probably pretty standard within the industry. And I've had three that I've really enjoyed working with. And now it's to the point where I can bid out a job and ask my crews what they want or what they need. And if I send that one job out to all three of them, and I feel confident that they can all do it well and will do it well, what's in my best interest to pick the one that will do it the cheapest at that point and help out with my margin.
Yeah, said. So when you think about the next year, we've reflected on the past 12 months, thinking about the next 12 months, what are some goals, some objectives? What are some key milestones look like?
That's a great question. And I'm excited to kind of share that answer with you. And my wife and I are working on our goals right now, as she just started last week. So my thought process is that in my business, I know what I need. It's more leads. And how do we get more leads? For me, it's the success has been door knocking and out canvassing. And that is a role that I'm going to take on more myself and give myself a little bit more of the VRC role. Molly's going to start with a little bit more of production and checking in on the job sites. And also she's going to work, do our proposals. So that is something that the bid team has been extremely good at and extremely helpful. But I feel like at this point, it's something that would better be fit for my wife to do. And it would help us build our business in a stronger way. And I know there's a couple other husband-wife combos that are co-owners, and I'm looking forward to it and helping my wife grow her business, which helps me grow mine, and her setting her goals and me setting my goals. I mean, four goals are not too far on the corner. And with the two of us working at this together, I mean, the goal is going to be $1 million. I want to exceed $1 million in my second full year. And that will be the way that we set the goals will be obviously amount of jobs that we can get, amount of dollars that we need to bid out, and what the average ticket ring is going to be. Because in year one, like anybody, I would settle for pay or a job below what I would think I would have just to get that introduction and just to help some contractor out or property manager out in hopes that they call us back when they need everything. I think I've power washed for Carolina One. They're a big Charleston's a vacation destination. There's a lot of property managers here. I've just power washed like four houses for them. I'll take the job because there's a little bit of money to be made on it, but it's more building that relationship in hopes that they call me back when these 4,000 or 5,000 square foot houses need to be repainted.
So you're going to be more intentional about the jobs that you choose in year two than year one. Year one, of course, you're happy to take opportunities, build relationships, but year two, raising that standard, the average ticket.
Absolutely. Set all my goals, and I did it by number of jobs, dollar amount, and then dollar sales, and then also my income. And when I look at my P&L the other day, it was like income was above my goal just by a little bit, but the dollar sales were just below, which when you look at it, that's not a bad thing. That means my margins have been stronger than where I generally projected them to be.
Yeah, you can take those learnings on the margin side and apply them to higher tickets and have higher rev and strong margins. And that's awesome, because in year one, you're taking opportunities that, you know, you're not being as selective with. And if you're able to be diligent about margins in opportunities like that, you start getting selective about the types of accounts and average tickets and the same discipline around margins. And yeah, it's a great step into another year of business ownership. What do you think in your previous experience and throughout your career, what do you think has translated most to the skill sets that have helped you to be successful here at Lime?
Gaining trust of the people that you work with. And I've been told, and I believe it's true in life, that the number one thing in a relationship, personal and professional, is trust. So I stand by that. And I've gotten in with three builders now, but that takes time. I would tell anybody up front, you want to get in with a new builder, and the houses around where I live are $2, $3, $4 million. So in order to get that job, you're probably going to have to discount that thing about 10% in my viewpoint to land that job. Because if you want them to hire you, you're going to have to probably provide them with a discount price as opposed, because they probably have an established painter, and a lot of them do. And for them to take a chance on you, you give them a little bit of an incentive by discounting that, you'll land it and you'll win it, and then prove yourself and gain their trust and then build the momentum off of that. We are finishing up a new build right now, the one that you were at here in Charleston, and they are there today doing the final touches. The stairs, we put a poly on it and it turned the stain. It looked like a little yellow. Without hesitation, I could tell that the contractor wasn't happy with the way it looked and asked if we could redo it. And I said, Andrew, absolutely. So my crew's there today sanding it down, and then we're going to restain it and repoly the stairs. At the end of the day, it's minimal cost for a relationship that I want a long-term relationship with in this contractor. So I didn't have to think twice about what we needed to do to restain some stairs and resand them and pay a little bit extra to my crew. And I take the fault for wrong product application on there, and the poly that we used, I won't use again.
Yeah. Going off of some of the talking points around values and how we do business and the experience and how that separates us in the marketplace. I mean, to your point exactly here, trust is powerful, and it happens to be a scarce in contracting. Being able to do what you say and be relationally focused and an individual that embodies a certain way of doing business creates a lot of trust in the marketplace, in a marketplace that doesn't see that so often. It's pretty powerful that just focusing on how we do business, of course, we need to have the expertise and be able to deliver, but the way in which we go about doing business is a competitive advantage. And that's really neat to be in that mission with you of defining what it is to experience a luxury home service experience. And that is exactly what we are doing at Lime, being that we're the first and only and largest luxury paint company. There were some folks, some brands that came in and standardized painting and really proved out that nationally you could standardize the service. Obviously, there's not a lot of barriers to entry. You have a truck and a paintbrush, you're a painter. And so being able to give that standardized national option, we were able to look at brands that had done that in the space but really carve out our niche. And now we're in the pursuit as we come up on the century mark of locations awarded. We're really defining nationally for consumers what it means to have a luxury home service experience. That's pretty neat. So Corey, you've been in the business for a year. You're projecting your next year. Obviously, you're starting to grow your team, starting to become a husband-wife duo. I'm sure eventually you'll start building your team in addition and continuing to work on your business, working out of your business, more of that empire mindset, but taking the approach of really rolling up your sleeves and mastering what makes the business click, what creates success. And once you're a master of that, clearly you will be very effective in being able to teach and scale beyond yourself because you know what needs to be replicated and you can proactively coach against that. But I wanted to ask you, with all that being said, how has Lime helped contribute to developing you into the person that you are today?
Another great question. What I like about Lime, and wholeheartedly mean this, is the family. We're all working in this to grow the brand. And the more that each one of us owners can build up our territory, it helps Lime grow. It helps you. So we all want to win together. We all are a team. I network with other owners a lot. I talk to two or three owners a week, and I just try to utilize my resources and talk to different ones. Also, the home office has been great. The bid support team and the Charleston support that I have has been truly great. I mean, everybody's so responsive. Also, our marketing team and our national success coach and all these different resources that we have to help when we have questions. I mean, we can reach out on the owner wall or the Lime wall within Slack, and we always get responses from each other because we're all here to help each other.
Yeah, again, it's the people, right? The culture. That's really what's going to create the success of any organization. And yeah, I would echo that, Corey. There's a genuine sense of partnership and in growing the brand equity at Lime and sharing that mission together on a local level, on a national level. That's the beautiful part of franchising, right? We're in business for ourselves, but not by ourselves. And that two-way partnership as a franchise owner going deep in the market, right? Acquiring more market share, generating more revenue. And that ultimately grows the brand locally. And if nationally, we can replicate that as much as possible by going wide, clearly we are becoming more and more of a household name and defining our niche in the market and ultimately leaving Lime in the thoughts of consumers when they think about a quality paint job, coatings job. And that's commercially, residential, both sides of the space there. But what do you think has been the most rewarding part of being at Lime?
Great question. For me, it's just the most rewarding thing for me in all of this was becoming a business owner and controlling my own destiny, but having all the support behind me that I needed. I knew that I needed to be in charge of my own like brand and like do my own thing as an entrepreneur. I never really wanted to answer to the man. And I think that's the attitude of a true entrepreneur, is that whether you want to call it arrogance or anything else, and maybe it partially is that I have, it was, I need to be in charge of my own destiny and my own financial future, but I don't have any ideas. And that's where the ideas come in of franchising. And as I was taught, franchising is a model that works. And the three things that they told me, number one was to follow the system. Number two was to follow the system. And the third one's a shocker, follow the system. So that was exactly what they said to do. And I told the other guys last night, like, you want to succeed in this business, do is exactly the way that Nick Lopez and Lime has done it, because it works if you work it. And that's the key thing. You have to work it. Be involved in this business and it will work. But don't try to reinvent the wheel. We have a system in place for a reason, and follow that system. Do what you're told to do. If you venture too far from that, you might run into headaches, you might run into success, but be creative in your own way too.
Follow the model, follow the system, and don't deviate from it. Yeah, follow the model. really that's what you're investing in, a franchise, that proven system. Corey, along those thoughts there, what else would you provide to somebody in terms of a cheat sheet to be successful as a franchise owner and as a franchise owner at Lime?
Be resourceful. Reach out to multiple people within the organization. Network. Don't be afraid to talk to people. There's so many times when you're in an opportunity, and don't let those opportunities pass you by, because I was at a neighborhood barbecue one time and I knew the guy was a contractor, had never met him, lived in our neighborhood. And I went up and introduced myself to him, told him what I was doing. And I've now done two jobs with him. And he has bid up four other jobs for him in the last 2 months. And we've established and built a good relationship, a trustful relationship at this point. And I feel strongly to say that we'll be working more in the future together. And he does custom high-end houses in the marketplace.
Well said, right? I mean, just these basic things that are not rocket science that create success. Corey, what do you think is, thinking back on this journey, past 12 months, what has been a memory that really stands out to you? One of your favorite memories?
Probably having you here. That was pretty cool experience. And having Yanni come here and do the videography of Charleston. That goes back to the family and the willingness to help and the support that we have. And I really mean that. Like, it was exciting to have you here and see Charleston, see what I've done, and help build on that momentum. And Yanni did such a good job of creating the videos of the houses that we've done here and how we've restored these beautiful homes.
I equally had a great time. Yanni always has a way of just making it so cinematic, right? He's from Greece. And every time I think of Yanni, I can hear his Greek accent, and he really is an artist. And we can stumble around and stumble through our words and everything else, and he just makes it come together and does a great job. Yeah, that was great. So being able to come out and help capture some footage and create a promotional video for the brand and for you in the local market, that's awesome. So we've talked quite a bit about many different things and have given a glimmer into what it means to be a franchise owner at Lime, and specifically for you, Corey, there in Charleston. We've talked about our values, but I'm going to ask you to list our core values and to state which one is your favorite and why.
Our core values are love, integrity, mission, and excellence. And although they all have great reasons to pick any of them, I would go for excellence because that's what I strive for in my job. And as I'll tell my customers, a contractor that I'm dealing with, we're not leaving the job until you're happy. So excellence. Let's be as close to perfect as we can on our jobs. The perfection doesn't exist, right? But we can come as close to that with excellence and making sure that we have another satisfied customer at the end of each job.
Love it. I love that, right? It's all about the standard that we create for ourselves, for our business, for our world. Our standard becomes our reality. What we accept is what we will get. And if our thermostat is at 80 degrees and we heat up to 90, meaning that momentum's growing around us, we might want to cool back down to 80. And if it's cooling down to 60, we're going to say, wait, hold on. I'm not going to take steps back. I'm going to heat up here and get back to 80. But the key is recognizing that we have a baseline and raising that baseline, raising our thermostat. If it's 80 and we start to heat up, recognizing that, okay, I'm creating a new standard, a new paradigm, I'm breaking a new ceiling, and there are standards and ways that we do everything. And so I'm definitely a big believer that how you do one thing is how you do everything. And that's an obsessed mentality around high performance. Corey, the fact that you mentioned excellence does not surprise me, just the results and the business that you're building and have built in Charleston most certainly reflects excellence. And there's something we talk about at Lime, right? You can have a standard of poor. You can have a standard of average, good, great, excellent. And we've even raised it to world class and elite. So excellence in our book, we've had to break that ceiling, that standard, just to continue to raise the bar. But that's the mentality at Lime. it's not just about love and those sort of emotions and values. It's also about a standard. It's a high performance organization. And that creates a very competitive and fun atmosphere at Lime. So, Corey, thanks for just sharing a little bit about your world in Charleston as an owner. It's most certainly been a pleasure having you on the show today. I have leveled up, and I know our audience has as well. Please subscribe to the channel, comment, and contribute to our conversation. Give us some thoughts. Let us know what your perspective is on our conversation today. Like the show. And Corey, really appreciate it. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nick. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for your time, and get limed.
Absolutely. That's right. Get limed.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.